this one shares being sponsored by Sandy and Saul Bodenheimer, in memory of Menachem Yehuda ben Shlomo Zalman Zal. Tonight's shiur is not only a topic that's relevant in terms of medical issues, of course it's relevant to Pashas Parah as well, although Allah has too much makes it here in after Pashas Parah, so I thought we'd speak about the real topic in terms of medical issue, and that's the issue of a Kohen. Can a Kohen become a doctor or not? What are the parameters of a Kohen studying medicine? So the sugya really begins with a statement of the Rambam, not even talking about Tumas Kohen per se. The Rambam happens to be talking about Hukhus Nazir. But the Gemara tells us in Masechas Nazir that many of the halachas of Tumah for Kohen and for Nazir are the same. Just as a Kohen is not permitted to become Tumah Tumas Meis, so for Nazir is not permitted to become Tumah Tumas Meis. As long as Daf Yomer read it, we can have Nazir, so read it a little bit in Yom Diyam also. So the Rambam in Hukhus Naziris for a Kehalach at Tazayin gives us a little bit of a background concerning this Isser of a Nazir. And whatever the Rambam is saying about a Nazir, we're going to extrapolate over to a Kohen. It says the Rambam, Allah at the Zayin, Nitma l'meis palim harvei, if a Nazir becomes tummy for a mace many, many times, Havel pishu chayim malkas akal achas b'achas l'shamayim, even though in theory each action that he does is a separate Isser, so klap ishmaya, he's really chayim, so to speak, for each time that he touches a mace, ein beizin malkas akal achas, beizin only has the right to give him malkas for one time. Normally the Isser of Tumas mace is a lav sheyesh b'maisa, so it's a lav that is subject to Malkus, so says the Rambam, that's only true, basically can only give you Malkus only for one time. But in Hisubach or Pamu Pam, Umitami Loko Kalachas Gachas. However, let's say the person touches the mace, Basin told him, the Adam told him, don't touch the mace, and he touches the mace. Then he comes away from the mace, and the Adam say to him again, don't touch the mace. And he goes back, each time they warn him, don't touch the mace. So then he's really going to be Chayav Malkus each and every time. So the Rambam is telling us is that the action, each action of touching a mace is considered to be a separate Aveira. In terms of Beis and Shalmala, so the person will be punished accordingly. But in terms of Beis and Shalmata, so then we are bound by the halacha of Hasra, and Hasra has to be given before each time we do the Aveira. But then halacha Yedzai, the Rambam further qualifies this halacha. The Nedibar Mamurim, Bishanidma Upireish, Bechaz, Vinaga, Onosa, Oheheil. When is this true that a person will be chayiv more than once, either in Beis and Shalmala or in Beis and Shalmata, even literally if he has Hasra? That's only if he first became Tamei, and then he left being Tamei. That means he touches the mace, then he walks away from the mace, then he comes back again, then he walks away, then he comes back again. Each time, so he's touching the mace from scratch, or each time he's moving the mace from scratch, or each time he's in the same ola with the mace from scratch. Those are the three different ways to become Tamei to Mas Mace. However, says the Rambam, while in Hoya Nogev Mace, the Adayin Mace Biyado, the Nogev Mace Acher in the Chayvel Acha, says the Rambam, what would Alocha be? If a Nazir, or for our purposes a Kohen, is holding onto one mace, at the same time that he's holding onto one mace, he touches another mace. At the same time he's holding onto one mace, he sticks his other hand into a room with another mace. So he's just repeating the same thing. So then the Rambam says, "Ein chayav la'acha." So then he's only chayav one malchus for that initial action. Even though it's true that he's doing a new action each time, but that's considered to be what's called mechul va'omed. Mechul va'omed means he's already coming. And it's kozban that he's coming to mace number one, so the fact that he happens to additionally be touching mace number two is really lama'al of lamoritz. At least on the level of the araisa, so this is based on a pasuk. When you talk about bi'al of lahechalo, the Gemara knows the darshan lahechalo, prat lamisha mechul va'omid, and the Rambam understood mechul va'omid to mean that kozban that he's touching one mace, so then he's not really subject to the isser being metami himself to all other maceim. So this is the way the Rambam sizes up the isser of tumas mace, both for nazir as well as for kohen. That there can be multiple violations of this isser, provided that at the time that you're touching mace number two, you've already refrained from touching mace number one. So notwithstanding the Rambam's formulation of this halacha, and the second of the Mamakomos derived in Parakei Halacha Tezayit, so in that second line of the Rambam of the Zivis Parakei Raivid, so the Raivid is a long, long Raivid on this Rambam. I left out the three quarters of the Raivid, the last line is the punchline for us, even though again the Rambam is talking about Nazir, but Nazir and Kohen are the same for these purposes. The Ravid says a kohen bizman hazeh tumei meishein the od ein aleim chiyuv tuma from the chayav osam alav lahavi raya. Says the Ravid that which the Rambam presented the halacha mechula ba'omei that if a kohen is already tamei then there's no issur for him to become subsequently tamei. The Rambam put the brakes on that halacha. The Rambam said that's only true if he's still literally actively touching meish number one. But what would the halacha be if he touched meish number one a year ago? And he just hasn't gotten around to being Matar himself. He never made it to get Efer Par Adula. He's technically still Tumi Tumas Meis, but he's not physically touching the first Meis. So the Rambam held That's not called Mechula V'Omed. The Rambam held, that's called an additional issue. The Chaim Malchus to that. If you had Asherah, you give me Chaim Malchus to that. So the Rabbi disagrees with that in the Kula. The Rabbi claims that Mechula V'Omed, that Ptur, that Kula, that Heter, Mechula V'Omed means any time the first Kohen is still Tomei, means he may have touched the vase 20 years ago, but he's still Tomei because he hasn't yet that Efer Paraduma. Kozman that a Kohen is Tomei, or Kozman that a Nazir is Tomei, so that the Rinatari himself is not considered to be an Aveira. And based on that understanding of Mechula V'Omed, then the Rabbi suggests that the Zman Hazeh, let's say you have any Kohen that at one time became Tomei to Mesmeis. How did he become Tomei to Mesmeis in the first place? So he went to a cemetery for a relative, Levi of a relative, or for whatever reason he found himself in a room and somebody died in the spot. So the Petra Pitov, he became Tomei. Good, so a Kohen became Tomei. Most Kohen today probably have become Tomei. Many Kohen have become Tomei already. If you have a Kohen who at one time became Tomei 50 years ago, says the Rabbi, so he is a Mechul V'Omed, so he has not yet become Tar, because we never haven't had Efer Paraduma for almost 2,000 years. So says the Rabbi, this man Hazeh, any Kohen who's already Tomei does not have to worry about becoming Tomei over again. So that's what the Rabbi says, that a Mechayev of a Lovi Rai, if a person wants to tell a Kohen that he's not allowed to go to a Vayev, this man Hazeh, he has to prove it. He has to prove that the Kohen is still Tar. If the Kohen ever became Tomei once in the last 50 years, so then it's more different to go to the Levayah. That's what the Rabbi says. Quite a statement of the Rabbi. So in one fell swoop, the Rabbi just did away with the whole dinner. Tumas Kohen, Tumas Manas, basically. That means once the Kohen becomes Tumas the first time in his life, whether the Heter Yisr, so then he's finished. And he's finished in a good way. Then he's saved. Then he doesn't have to worry about the Yisr of the Yolam Vod. This is the Sheet of the Rabbi. So the Rambam does not accept this, obviously. And Ruben the Rishav did not accept this Rabbi. If one would accept this Rabbi, Lahalocha, then the Shiur of the Yolam, if you want to know whether it's a long Shiur or short Shiur, going to the Rabbi, it's not like this anymore. Going to the Rabbi, it's not short. A Kohen study medicine, a Kohen can be, converts to the Chabad Kaddish also. I mean, once he became Zomit the first time, so then everything is Mutter. So, needless to say that we don't really accept this Rabbi, Lahalocha. However, even though we don't, under normal circumstances, accept this Rabbi, we'll have to see as we go on, maybe the Rabbi may still come back to, at least according to some poskim, to help us out to some degree. One of the major issues involved in a Kohen studying medicine, obviously, is the issue that he's going to come into contact with a mace, and he may come into contact with a mace in many, many different ways. He may come into a contact with a mace in terms of actually touching a mace. He may come into contact with a mace and moving a mace. He may come into contact with a mace in terms of being in the same room as a mace. So all three of the above may be relevant for him to Mishmaga Masava Ohel. So there is a major machlekes atenoim concerning one of these tumas, the tumor which is probably the most difficult to avoid, and that's tumas oel. Tumas magra, you keep your hands away, so then you won't become tummy. Tumas masa, you don't move, you won't become tummy. But tumas oel, anytime you're going to be in the same room, or even in the same building, if the doors are open, whatever the details of oel are, so the Kohen is going to become tummy. So there is a major machlekes atenoim concerning tumas oel that's going to be critical for any Kohen who wants to even entertain the possibility of studying medicine. So the sugi begins in the third of the Mamakomos, in the Gemara Maseches Yevamos, and that's Samach of the days. The Gemara quotes the Brayis, the neighbor of Shimon by Yochai, Tanya, the Chena of Shimon by Yochai Omer, Kivrei of the Kechavim Einen Metamin Ba'Oel, that a mace of a non-Jew, the kever of a non-Jew, the grave of a non-Jew, even the body of a non-Jew, so is not subject to Tumas Ohel. Even though normally we say that whenever we speak about Tumas Mace, so we speak about Ma, Hamas, and Ohel, comes to Bishimon by Yochai and says that Tumas Oel is the Chiddush HaTorah. It was only said for a Jewish mace, it wasn't said for a non-Jewish mace. How in the world did Rabbi Shimon by Yochai know this distinction? So he's comments on a Pesuk in Yecheskel, Snema v'yaten, Solit, Son, Marisi, Adam, Atem, Atem Kriyim Adam, Ve'en of the Kicham Kriyim Adam. Whatever that means exactly, not beyond the parameters right now, but at least in terms of this particular halacha, Rabbi Shimon by Yochai comments that since the Torah introduces the parash of Tumas Oel with the phrase, Adam Ki Yomus Ba'ohel, so Adam has a very specific halachic connotation. Adam refers to Kai, so the other refers to Tumas Olam. And therefore, Rabbi Shimon Bayachai, one fell swoop says, this whole parish of Tumas Ohel doesn't apply to a non-Jewish mace. This is Rabbi Shimon Bayachai's tremendous chiddush. Do we postulate like Rabbi Shimon Bayachai? So there was a big machlekes at Tanoim. Others disagreed with Rabbi Shimon Bayachai. There was Tanoim, the Chachamim, disagreed with Rabbi Shimon Bayachai. They had Lohayu Dvarmei Olam. There is no such drash of Atem Kriyim Adam, Lo Bikham Kriyim Adam. The Tosat Torah Adim Kirmas Paul means a human being. A human being means, no matter what, Jewish, non-Jewish, all included in the phrase of Adim Kiyamas Pa'ol. So there was a Machlekes at Tanoim. There's a very, very strange story in Masechet Tov Metziah, which has to be understood whether you're going to pass like Rav Shimon Bar Yochai like the Rabbanim. The Gemara tells a story that one of the Amoraim saw Eliyahu HaNavi, that he was in a Beis HaKvaros. He was in a non-Jewish Beis HaKvaros. So he asked them, what are you doing in the Beis HaKvaros? You're a Kohen? So Tosha already points out, the Eliyahu HaNavi was a Kohen, really? Is that true? That he was a Kohen? So Tosha points out that there were Midrashim Chalukim, that according to one day in the Medrash, one day in Chazal, Eliyahu HaNavi was the same as Pinchas, and then we understand that he was a Kohen, because of Kohen, he was a Kohen. But Tosha points out there are other days in the Medrash that say he came from a different Sheva. So Taisha says, Midrashim Chalukim, not the first, not the last, but Chalukim Midrashim. So Taisha says that this shot of the time, the Gemara, is assuming that he was a Kohen. Good, so goes on, he was a Kohen. So the Amoraim asked him, so good, so what are you doing in the Beis HaKvaros? So Eliyahu HaNavi explained to them that, don't you know, there's a non-Jewish cemetery, and non-Jews are not Metami B'Oel, and therefore it's not a problem, because Atem Krim Mam Ve'enav, you can tell them Krim Adam. So Eliyahu HaNavi sounds like he's passing in the Shiloh. He sounds like he's passing Rav Shuvay Achai. So Taisha has a whole discussion in that Gemara, do we pass like Eliyahu HaNavi? So that's a tricky question. Sounds strange. Really, do we pass like Eliyahu HaNavi? Eliyahu HaNavi, of course you pass like him. Not so simple. So we have rules that Lobo Shemayim, that the Torah is only decided by the Beis and Shemata, that we don't bring in Mabochim, we don't bring in things from Mitzvah and Shemayim to pass in Shailas. So when Eliyahu HaNavi appears, is he coming to Torah Ben Adam? Is he passing, when he passed in the Shailas of Mitzvah and in the end of the ninth parak, was he passing as a Chochom, as a Rav? If he was passing as a Rav, so then we take his opinion into consideration. If he was paskining as a samalach, he was paskining as something lamalim and a teva, so then we apply the rule of Lobo Shemayim, and we don't follow what he has to say. Then we go with the regular rules that Yachid v'Rav, Loch v'Rav, and we're going to follow against him, Shir Bayachai. So it's unclear what exactly the role of Eliyahu HaNavi is. It's a shir in and of itself, not for now, but it's unclear what exactly the role of Eliyahu HaNavi is. And the Gemara speaks, the Amoraim speak about the Net Eliyahu on many different occasions. So what exactly that mean? Eliyahu HaNavi was still alive, not still alive, it's somewhat unclear. But getting back to our story, so Rav Shimon Yochai clearly was of the opinion that Kibri of the Chum and not Mitami V'Olel. Even though Rav Shimon Yochai was of the opinion that Kibri of the Chum and not Mitami V'Olel, the Gemara goes on to say in the next in the Ma'amar Kamus, Nivam Samach Aleph Amin Aleph, that even Rav Shimon Yochai only said his Chiddush Legavi Tumas Oel. He didn't say it Legavi other Tumas. Let's say a mace is normally Mitami in three ways. He's Mitami the Manga, the Mas of Oel, by touching, by moving, and by being in the same room, under the same roof. So comes the Gemara in Yivam HaSamachalat and says, Ravina Omar, Nihidim Artinu Kra Miatmui Ba'Oel, Nechshiv Adam Tiamas Ba'Oel, Mimago Masa Mimatinu Kra. Just because of Shema Yechai is a Gzeres HaKosov that a non-Jew is not Mitami Ba'Oel, that doesn't mean he's not Mitami B'Mago B'Masa, doesn't mean that he's not Mitami if you touch him, doesn't mean he's not Mitami if you move him. Of course a non-Jew is Mitami B'Mago B'Masa. The starting point is that all human beings are Tami Tumas Meis. So now there's a Chiddush HaTorah, Legabi Tumas, oh well, Adam Tiamas Ba'ol. Shema Yechai Zadrasha, Adam Tiamas Ba'ol, Adam is Prat La'achom. So that's only true Legabi Tumas Oel, where the phrase Adam appears. But by Magal Masa doesn't say Adam. So by Magal Masa, so non-Jews are the same as Jews. So even according to Shema Yechai, a non-Jew is for sure going to be Mitame, the Magal Masa. The Gemara proves that this is true, that the context of the Sugi Nivamas is based on the Tzukim in the end of Sefer Bamidbar, where the Tzukim described that the people went out to battle against the Midyanim, and when they came back, so the Tzukim said that all the people, anyone who had touched a body, so had to undergo the mitzvah of Eifah Paraduma. So the Gemara says, why would they be tired themselves with Eifah Paraduma? According to Rishon Bayachai, if they only touched the non-Jewish Mason. So the Gemara says, Al Korachach, that even Rishon Bayachai agrees that the non-Jewish Mason on the Tam is a Magal B'Masa. So it's obvious in the Maskana of the Gemara Yevamis that the whole Machlekes of Rishon Bayachai and the Rabbanon was only about Tumas Masa, I'm sorry, only about Tumas Oel, but it had absolutely no relevance in terms of Tumas Maga and Tumas Masa. So where does all this place us when I said? So we started out the first part of the year, we mentioned when the Shittas arrived. The Ravid has this unbelievable cooler that Tumas Mase doesn't apply anymore. As long as you become Tummy once, and then it's all over. So nobody else accepted that Ravid. But now we have a second question, is that what exactly is the status of Tumas Akum. So Lagabe Magu Masa seems to be an open and shut case. For sure it's Tame. Lagabe Tumas Oel was subject to this Machlokes of Rav Shimon Yochai and the Rabbanan. How do we pass him Halach and the Shaila? So comes the Shulchan Aruch in your day in Simon Shinayin Deis of days and writes as follows. Chivri of the Kichavim Nochon Lizor HaKoim Elel HaChaleim. So the Shulchan Aruch writes a very, very parva lesson. The Shulchan Aruch writes that Kivri of the Kichavim, should the Kohen be careful to be Ma'il on them or not? So the Shulchan Aruch says, Nochem Yizohir. So what does Nochem Yizohir mean? If he held that it was not, so he should have said salsa. If he held that it's mutter, he should have said it's mutter. So the answer is, it's a machlekes and rishonim. It's a machlekes and benetam and the Rambam. Do we pasik with Shubay Choy or not? So according to the Rambam, who was naked, who pasik is like with Shubay Choy, so then the answer is, that's mutter. And it's totally mutter. But Rabbi Tam held that we don't accept with Shubay Choy. So the Shekhanah pasik is somewhere in the middle. He writes that Me'ika Mikra did it's probably mutter. That's why he didn't come out strong, harshly, and say, it's mamish asur. On the other hand, he strongly recommends to avoid it. Nochem Izar. Nochem Izar means that we treat it like a Shabbat or Isa. We're pretty sure that it's mutter, but we're not 100% sure since there are Rishonim who pass it against Rishon Ba'achai, so we recommend not to do it. Nochem Izar. Then the Shulchan the Ramah continues, Yav Apishiyesh Matilim. The Ramah says, even though there are some Rishonim who will make them, and the Rabbim and others, but it says the Ramah, but Nochem Lahachmir. Says the Ramah, but nevertheless, one should be Machmir. But the Ramah is seconding this motion of the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch presented it as Nochem Lizor, and the Ramah says, you're right, Taka Nochem Hachmir, the same thing, Nochem Lizor, Nochem Hachmir, that we should try L'chatchila to avoid relying on the Skula. Then the Ramah just points out an important point about Kevash Al-Mumah Mitamik Yishal Yisrael. This was a common problem, the Ramah writes. Sometimes you would have a non-Jewish cemetery, so a Kohen would think, well, it's a non-Jewish cemetery, well, it's only non-Jews buried there, so therefore Yesh Mekilim. So the Ramah says, yeah, but what if there are Mumrim who are buried there? What if there are people who were born Jewish who are buried there, who later became converted to another religion? So they for sure, Kedushas Yisrael, they for sure Mitami Ba'ol. Nobody would say that. Even if Shulay Chayr all that way. So says the Ramah, just because you have a non-Jewish cemetery doesn't necessarily mean there aren't Jews who are buried there. So anyone who was born a Jew, once a Jew, always a Jew. Apepi Shechat Yisraelu. So anyone who has Kedushas Yisrael who is buried there for sure is going to be a problem of Tumas Ohel. So a co-part of getting back to our original Shaila, in terms of Tumas Acham, are we Machmer or are we Mekel? And Tumas Oel? So the answer is L'chadchilu b'Machmer, but Me'igra did, we probably are Mekel. However, this Shaila clearly, at least based on the Shulchan Aruch, only seems to be addressing the issue of Tumas Oel. I mean, Tumas Oel, maybe the kid rely on Rishon Ba'echoi. Maybe, M'choy Kesav Rishonim, but maybe we have a right to say we're going to follow Rishon Ba'echoi. Tumas Magol Masa is nothing to talk about. Tumas Magol Masa, the Gemara says, Tem Olei in Yivamas, that according to Rishon Ba'echoi, it's also going to be a problem. So comes along one of the Gedalia Rishonim, the Sefer Yerayim, the Blasvi Mitz, which is the Talmud of Rabbeinu Tam, and the Sefer Yerayim is a tremendous Chiddush. The Sefer Yerayim writes that it would appear to him that not only is a Kohen permitted to be in the same room as a mace of an Akum, but he's even permitted to touch a mace Akum as well. How does it make sense to that? That's not against the Gemara. The Gemara is the favor, so that's a problem. So let's shout at Rabbi Lezvi Mitz. So the answer is that Rabbi Lezvi Mitz holds as follows. Rabbi Lezvi Mitz concedes that a mace Akum is metame b'masa. You can't argue with that. That's the Gemara said the favor. Rabbi Lezvi Mitz holds a chiddush. He says that the din is that a Kohen is not permitted to become Tomei Tumas Meis. That's the partial. And that was where you're the Amav. You're not allowed to become Tomei Tumas Meis. So what's considered to be Tumas Meis? The Velazi Mitz says Tumas Meis doesn't just mean tumor that emanates from a dead body. Tumas Meis means a very specific type of tumor that carries with it three components of tumor. It has the ability to create Tumas Naga, and the ability to create Tumas Nasa, and the ability to create Tumas Oel. Any source of tumor that has those three characteristics to it, that is the halachic definition of tumas meis. You can have theoretically a dead body that only emits some of those tumors, and you have a dead body that only emits tumas mag or only emits tumas mas, or both of them, but doesn't emit tumas ovel, so that's not called tumas meis. That's a different tumor. Marshal Mother Vidoga, a dead animal also emits tumor, but that's not called tumas meis. So tumas meis is a very, very specific halachic annotation. It means something that carries with it all three characteristics. So therefore, Blasi Mitz said that a tumas akum is tamei. There's no question that a meis akum is the tamei b'magav b'masa. That's the fair shigamari. That was the yivamis hasamach aleph. But that type of tumah is not a problem for a kohen. A kohen is only muzer on tumas meis. He's not muzer on other tumas. Let's say a marshal. This mamish a marshal. Obviously not in the same ballpark that we're talking about. But just with a marshal b'yama. What would that locha be? Let's say a kohen comes with the following shot. He wants to know, can he touch a dead animal? So what would that locha say? Is a kohen allowed to touch a dead animal? He's going to become tamei gaval. He's going to become tamei. So the answer is, who cares? There's no issue for a kohen to become tamei. The issue is for a kohen to become tamei, tumas meis. So tumas tevel is not tumas meis. There are certain similarities between them. Just as tumas meis is kizayis, tumas tevel is kizayis. Just as tumas meis has maga, so to tumas tevel has maga. So just as tumas meis has masa, so to tumas tevel has masa. That's true. There are certain similarities between them, but they're totally different categories of tumah. One is Tumas Meis and one is Tumas Nevela. So there's no such thing as a Kohen becoming Tumas Meis, Tumas Nevela. There's nothing wrong with a Kohen becoming Tumas Meis, Tumas Nevela. There is a story that's been printed in different formats, but the basic story runs the same, that somebody once approached the Rav and showed him that apparently they found some old Shavyat from the period of the Gaonim that said that a Kohen is not permitted to become Tumas Meis, Tumas Nevela. So they asked the Rav, what do you make out of this? The Gemara is the Ferish, not the way the first son is the Ferish, not the way there is no such halacha. So the person who discovered it was all excited. He said, wow, we found some other pshat, some other day, it must be some other tradition, a machlekes or something. You want to make a whole simple Torah out of this Shavyat from 1,200 years ago, that a kain is not permitted to come into contact even with a dead animal. So the Rav said, he said, the stomach, whatever Gaon wrote that simple Torah, was an Amoritz. He said, not everyone who lived in the period of the Gaonim possessed something to become a Chacham. He said, like today, you have Baruch Hashem, you have a lot of people who are not just becoming a Chacham. So every single article that gets written, every single sefer gets written, is Lachdak, Teres Moshe. So who had the Nami? The Rav didn't have any qualms about saying that particular Shiloh Torah was just wrong. It was just Amaratos, because there is no such halacha. So anyway, getting back to this story. So Rav Elazar and Nitzah saying even more than that. Rav Elazar and Nitzah saying, even though this Tumah is coming from a dead human being, it's coming from a dead human body, but it's not coming from something which is emitting Tumas Meis. It's coming from a non-Jewish body which is emitting Tumas Naga and emitting Tumas Masa, but since it fails to emit Tumas, oh well, that's not called Tumas Meis. And anyway, try that Muzer on that. So that's quite a fancy footwork that Rav Elazar admits to say, and nobody accepts this. But the Rambam and all the other Rishonim say, no, Ma'api Tom, even according to Rav Shimon Yochai, who says that Tumas Meis Akom of an oil is a right, but the Magen Masa has to show me, when Yavama says that it's Tomei, and therefore it's also a finish of their eyes and finish, end of discussion. So I'll call upon him in terms of what's the status of a Tumas Akom, which is going to be the critical question considering the Kohen who wants to study medicine, assuming that there are only Meshachim around, there may be a stroll around, then he's going to be up the creek much more seriously. But assuming, let's say Naniach, we can somehow isolate that he's only dealing with Meshachim, so he has a double question here. He says, number one, does he have a right to be make on the first Shiloh of Tumas Oel? Does he have a right, let's say, to sit in a lab when there's a mace there, even though he's not going to touch the mace b'chlal? So that's not so pashut. So they already, the Shulchan Aruch said that Nochem is Zoyer. The Ramos says that Nochem HaChimir. Both the Mechaber and the Ramos say that we shouldn't be make on just straight out to permit a Kohen to come, even in terms of Tumas Oel. So that in and of itself is somewhat problematic. But what's even going to be significantly more problematic is, forget about being in the same room, what if the mace is going to be called upon to actually touch the mace? So to be asked to touch the mace, even if you can verify that it's a mace akum, even a niach that's 100% sure that it's a mace akum, so the only one you have to rely on is the Sefer Yerayim. It's only the Koshi, the Sefer of Elazar and Nitzah, who would be making on that. That those who shun will pass that Tumas Akum applies, but all for sure wouldn't be making on that. And even those who shun will hold that Tumas Akum doesn't apply, Tumas Ol doesn't apply to Akum, they probably only held it Lagavi Ol, didn't hold it Lagavi Magu Masa, didn't buy into the Kula over Belaz in this. It's Mamasha Kula, Gavi Kula, Gavi Kula. To permit a Kohen to go ahead and to actually touch a Meis Akum is a very, very shaky Kula, relying basically on the sheet of her Belaz in this. But, so you would probably follow Rove. Well, most people in the world are not Jews. So if you have a body and you can't tell what it is, you can assume that it's probably a non-Jewish body. Unless you'd say it's brought to you and it says tag on it, says cone on it or something, and then there's a good chance it's probably a Jewish body. So just the way we're presenting it now, it would sound like for the Kohen to be involved in actually touching the mace is really out of the question. And even for the Kohen not to be involved in touching the mace, just to be in the same room with the mace is a very, very shaky statement as well. So come to Pesach Teshuva, and potentially turns everything around. Comes to Pesach Teshuva, but then the end is going to turn everything that he turned around back again. So, but at least at one stage, comes to Pesach Teshuva in Yeradeya, the last time it comes in Simin Shin Ayin Deis, Sif Beis, from Tess, to Nachal HaHachmir. So he quotes the Nehdev Yud, Ayin B'Dogam Mevav, Dogam Mevav were the notes of the Nehdev Yud on the side of Shulchan Aruch, Ayin B'Dogam Mevav, Shekos of Zel Shono. Well, the Das HaRaivid Per came in Azirah, so we just brought the Raivid back to life. So we start off the Sugya, by saying the Ravid holds once you're Tameh, then everything is Mutter, but nobody accepted that. So says the Navi Yehuda, wait a second. According to the Ravid, who holds that once you become Tameh, everything is Mutter, Hukach Yeh Shlomar, or something, Halach Yeh Zayim, sorry, the Heicha Shekvar Tameh, Shuv Eina Muzer Ala Tuma, Im Kein, Kohanim Bizman Hazeh, Eina Muzer Ala Tuma. Even though we don't accept the Raivid, no one in the world today is going to say, I hold like the Raivid, and therefore it's mutter for me to become Tomei, it's mutter for Kain to go to Levi, that's absurd. Nobody holds that way today. Nevertheless, as the Nedihud become up on the Nase of the Kechavim, Ika Svek Sveika. Says, maybe we can be Maker, let's tickle Svek Sveika. What's the Svek Sveika? Maybe the Raivid's right, and maybe the Raivid's not right. And even if it comes along with it, the Raivid's not right, she's probably not right. Even if the Raivid is not right, well, maybe we could still be Mekel, because maybe it's a Neis Akum. And therefore, Neis Akum is not so bad, because there are Mekelim on Neis Akum. So then, the Yudhi concludes, L'chei Nirlefini Asaiti, the Misha wrote to Lishmach, was Elohok Elinim Tumas Ohel Eimochim B'yado. So he says, if a Kohen wants to be in the same room with a non-Jewish Neis, so then you can be Mekel. Those who, he's not recommending it, he's not advocating it, but he says, Eimochim B'yado. Those who want to be Mekel, you cannot say what they're doing is wrong. You cannot stop them from what they're doing. Because the Chora, they have a pretty decent bona fide space taker. That maybe the Rive is right, and even if the Rive is not right, well, maybe those Rishonim will hold that Akum and not Matanim, but all the right, that constitutes a space taker. So the evidence is that it wasn't the Nedi Behuda who started off the space taker. It was already the Mishlo Melech. The Nedi is quoting the Mishlo Melech, who already started this space taker rolling. The context of the discussion of the Mishlo Melech was rather fascinating. The Mishnah Melech was asked the Shaila by, you have to really be in the business to really appreciate the Shaila, but the Mishnah Melech was presented the following question, that there were some Jews who had gotten into the mummy business. And apparently it was a good, profitable business in the Middle Ages, and they were buying and selling the Egyptian mummies and apparently shipping them to museums in Europe or something. So the question was presented to the Mishnah Melech on three different issues. Concerning dealing in the mummy business, there was a question of Shkor B'Dvar Masurim, that normally you're not allowed to eat human flesh. That's a deraisa according to the Rambam. The cannibal is an Isra Machos Asura according to the Rambam. So comes the Mishnah Melech and says, you're not allowed to do business in non-kosher foods. Maybe that should be like doing business in non-kosher foods. Then there was another issue in terms of a mace, is also Bahano. So maybe that's stamina. So forget about the fact that it's Machos Asura. That's stam to be man. That's stam to do business with Dvar Masurim. I know is a problem. And the third problem, that apparently some of the people who were working in the museums with the mummies were Kohanim. So there was a shadow of Tumas Meis. So the Mishnah Melech starts out by saying that you can assume that all these mummies are non-Jewish. He said we don't have too many records of Jewish mummies floating around, notwithstanding the very end of Sefer Bereishis, but Yosef, we know what happened. He wasn't around anymore. So comes the Mishnah Melech and says, this time you find a mummy, you dig up King Tut's tomb, you can assume that King Tut was probably not Jewish. So therefore the Mishnah Melech says there's an overwhelmingly rogue that the person is not Jewish, and therefore what? So therefore can the Kohen come into contact with it or not? So the Mishnah Melech threw out this possible space maker that maybe the Rav is right, and even the Rav is not right, well it's a Neis Akum. Now the Mishnah Melech even presented a possibility, maybe you could even touch the Neis Akum based on the Sefer Yoreim. Maybe you could say, maybe the Rav is right, maybe the Rav is not right, and even if he's not right, maybe the Yoreim is right. So that particular space maker the Mishnah Melech eventually rejected, because he felt that both of those shitas were such das yachis, you can't put together two das yachis to make a snake speaker. Otherwise, the whole halachic system is going to crumble. I could find you any sheet that said anything. So I'll find you one sheet that says it's mutter for one reason. Then I'll dig you up another sheet that 800 years ago was a Rishon who said something. So you put together, maybe he's right, maybe he's right, everything is mutter. So that's not a normal way of asking shailas. So it comes to Mishnah Melech and says, you can't make a snake speaker out of a raiva that was a das yachin and a yareim that was a das yachin. But the Nebuchadnezzar says, that far you can't go. But maybe you can be mouth there Tumas Oel, because Tumas Oel Taka, they were really shining. There was a serious Rishonim who held this mutter. The Rambam held this mutter. The Shulchan Aruch Mikra didn't held this mutter. The Rambam held Mikra didn't held this mutter. So maybe you can argue that in order to permit a Kohen to at least come into a room with a Neis Akum, then you could begin to quest. Maybe a snake snaker, you could say that it's totally mutter. So that was the beginning of a breakthrough. Then the Neis Akum even backs out on that. It continues to last the Rambam Kamas. Shub cause of the Khomash Safti Nim Safti Akha Divya Mishla Mela Pakim Avil, till the diet of Sova Raivish ain't is a cloud of crane she panit militami asmo. Aval Ashra Masafi Alibi Shulai the Omra Raivid El Inim Khir Malkos, Lachin Adronabom the Hati of the Koin Lerach Kibre the Kui Akan Shem Hanshom. Says in the Yehuda that this is all assuming that the Raivid really held that it's mutter for a Koin does not have to go rule of Ayah. So that's what we thought the Raivid said. So says the Nadu, if you look carefully at the Ravid, look at other sources and other places of the Ravid, it would appear that the Ravid never really said it's totally mutter. The Ravid said that it's maybe it's not necessarily Isa, maybe there's no Malkus, Mechulah Ome, but the Rabbi never said Pem Mali that it's Mutter. So it could be that, according to the Rabbi, also there's an Issa, some kind of an Issa. So how do you make a Spek Speker? Spek Speker, maybe the Rabbi holds it's Mutter. What do you mean maybe holds? Even the Rabbi himself doesn't hold it's Mutter. So the Rabbi Yudah says, at the end of the day, the whole Spek Speker falls by the wayside. Forget the Rabbi, the Rabbi is Lamalach, Lamirid, the Rabbi is not Father Cheshbin. So we're back to square one, says the Rabbi Yudah. Do we have a right to be Mekel outright and let a Kohen go to be Metame Lanesh Apom? So Tumas Magal Masa is just about out of the question, except according to the Arayim, which we don't really accept. And even Tumas Olam is very, very shaky, because you have to be shown hold it's a problem. And the Mechav and the Ramah both recommend strongly that a person should be careful. So when all the dust settles, what do we have? At the end of the whole Sugya, what are we left with? So the Raivin is very, very shach. It's very, very difficult to put the Raivin into any of these calculations. For two reasons. First of all, the Raivin was mamish outvoted by everybody else under the sun. And reason number two is not even sure the Raivin held was really mutter l'chadchila. There are other comments of the Raivin that seem to indicate that he never really held it was totally mutter. He held that maybe it's not an issue Aisha. So the Raivin we probably don't want to fall back on. So any other coolers that we have are going to revolve around the coolers of Meis Achum. So first of all, you have to make sure it's Meis Achum. That's number one. If the Kohen who's going to be a doctor cannot avoid being with Meis Yisrael, then the whole question is nothing to talk about. But assuming that somebody can figure out a way that he's only going to be dealing with Meisei Hakom, both in terms of learning medicine and in terms of practicing medicine, if that's really true, which may not be realistic, but if that's really true, so then it's still not so partial that it's Mutter, because we still have to overcome the problems of Meisei Hakom. So Oel is a little bit less of a problem. We're not as concerned with too much Oel, but Lechachilu we are. Lechachilu we're not going to be Mavis so fast. But Magal Masa is a much, much more serious problem, which, except according to the Arayim, there are going to be no grounds to permit that. So there was one suggestion that was made, a very, very mechudish type of suggestion, going back that we started the sugya with the Rambam. The Rambam started out by telling us that if a Kohen is really mechulav ha'omed, if the Kohen is really, really tummy to mesmeis, he's literally touching a mace right now, then it's mutter to touch another mace. So maybe that could solve the problem for all the doctors. Let the doctor touch one mace first. Once he's touching one mace, then he can touch all the other maces. So it sounds like a ludicrous suggestion. What gave him the right to touch the first mace in the first place? So there was some who came up with the following interesting suggestion. The Ritzi Din, and also appears in Parshas Torah, but the Gemara comments on the Pasuk, B'chalal cherev over mace. The Torah says that a person is killed with a chalal, with a cherev, through a sword. So chalal cherev. What is the significance of that phrase, chalal cherev? So where's the drash in the Sefer Nazir? Cherev arev techolol. That any metal kli, let's take it at least in that sense, any metal kli that touches a mace, that comes coming to a mace, takes on the status of the mace itself. It's considered to be mamish like an aviyah vos atuma. So there were, in fact, based on that gemara, there was some rishonim who suggested that a kohen is not allowed to come into contact with any metal kli that ever came into contact with a mace, because if the metal kli becomes like a mace, so that's like too much mace. So that was Rabbeinu Chaim Cohen's question. Rabbeinu Chaim, one of the Balei HaTosfos, was a Talmud of Rabbeinu Tam, so he presents Rabbeinu Tam the Shah on the end of Masechus Nozer. He says, Eza Bayis HaShetivnu Li. He says, go find me a house to live, Ki Ein Bayis HaSharing Shom Meis. There's always been a dead body somewhere. He had a dead body in his house 20 years ago, so all the metal pots and pans and silverware became Tameh to Mas'olol. So they all became Cherev Rech Echolol. Every time I walk into that house, I become Tameh Al's Tumas Meis. So that was the question Rabbeinu Chaim presented to Rabbeinu Tam. So the answer to that question most probably is that a Kohen is not Muslim Chavar of the Kohen. A Kohen is not allowed to come into contact with a mace, but he's allowed to come into contact with something which became Tumi to Tumas Mace. So if that's true, then Mechorah, there would be nothing wrong. For argument's sake, you take a watch, and you bring a watch to a cemetery, you bring a watch to a funeral. So now the watch is metal, it becomes Chavar of the Kohen, and you give it to a Kohen as a gift. As he begins medical school, you give him this watch that's Tumi to Tumas Mace. So he puts the watch on. He's not doing anything wrong when he's putting on the watch, because he's allowed to come into contact with Chavar Ech Yecholo. But Lemaisa, by putting on the watch, that's the halachic equivalent of him touching a mace. So now when he touches a real mace, so then he's not adding anything to his tumah, so he just mostly tumah to himself, and that's not considered to be a problem. What a wild eitza. So the overwhelming job of the poskim held that that was b'chalal, not a mace. So he said, Mamanashach, either you're treating the Chavar Ech Yecholo as mace, or it's not a mace. You can't have your cake and eat it. So if it's a mace, then you have to be machmir, like a bit of Chaim's question, you can't wear the watch in the first place. If you want to be mekel, that it's going to count, so that it doesn't count as a mace, how's it going to save you from real tumas mace? The whole mace was very, very mechudishnik. There was some who had such a suggestion, but Ruben the Pesachim did not really accept it. So So if you don't accept that Eitzah, then you're back to the original Sugya. So the Raivid doesn't really help us too much. We're not going to follow the Raivid. And the Tumas Akum Ba'ol is itself shaky, and Tumas Maga, Masav and Akum is even more shaky. It's much more significant problem. Therefore, it's very, very difficult. It depends mostly on the Metzius. So the Metzius Advarim is that the Kohen is going to have these kinds of issues all the time, and this is all assuming that they're Mesi Akum. Once you went into the realm of Mesi Yisrael, then there's nothing to talk about. And of course it's going to be also short of Mamash Pekuch Nefesh. So there's no Pekuch Nefesh for him to become a doctor. Pekuch Nefesh from Mesi Reich. Pekuch Nefesh means that once if a person is already a doctor, and now the Shaila comes up, and he has to deal with something, so then Pekuch Nefesh kicks in. But otherwise, says Ramesh, you're going to tell me that to become a doctor means Pekuch Nefesh. So a kid, he's in 10th grade, he's taking the biology regions. So he says, well, I have to do my study on Shabbos. I have to practice my regions on Shabbos. Because if I don't practice the regions, then I'm going to fail biology. I'm not going to make it to medical school. I won't be able to heal anyone to be Pekuch Nefesh. So Ramesh writes, that's a late son. That's not called Pekuch Nefesh. So too, for the person who's studying to become a doctor, that's not yet called Pekuch Nefesh. So Pekuch Nefesh isn't going to play a role. So in terms of Mesi Yisrael, it's going to be out of the question. Even Mesi Yisrael is very, very shaky. So it's for this reason that most of the poskim were strongly opposed to a Kohen studying medicine. This is practically speaking the way it is now. Maybe things will change in the future. Maybe there'll be ways to study medicine in ways we won't have to come into contact with Mesi as much. Maybe video conferencing will take over and there'll be a whole different approaches to these things. But the way things still are, unless the doctors can tell me now, it's hard to envision, at least right now, that a doctor is going to be able to avoid these shilas in terms of Thomas Kohen.